Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and held all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, it has been my joy for the last over 25 years to be part of church work full time. I've been preaching for 34 and a half years, almost, right at 34 and a half years I've been preaching, but I've been in full-time Christian work, and I mean everything I've got full-time 25 plus years. I have seen a lot in my ministry. Now, listen to this statement carefully. I'm not going with this where you think I'm going, so hang on. I've seen a lot, heard a lot of criticism about growing churches. Most of the criticism comes in one statement. It's just all about numbers, isn't it? Oh, I've heard that. If I had a nickel every time I heard it, we could pay for this building twice. I have heard it and 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 heard it. I have no ability to judge anybody else's motive. But I can tell you one thing, that's not my motive. Now listen to me. Grace Baptist Church is here to reach as many people as we can for God. Period. We are here to help as many people as we can. We are here to see as many people saved, baptized, and teach them to go out and win people to Christ and get them baptized as we can. That was the purpose of the church, just so you know. Now, I know God is pleased when one person gets saved. I know God's pleased when one person gets helped. But how much happier do you think God would be if 100 got saved? Or if 100 got helped? So it's not a matter of it's all about numbers. It's all about us helping as many people as we can. By the way, I don't publish our numbers anywhere. We're not calling Christian publications and saying, look how many we had. I don't call preachers every Sunday afternoon. This is how many I had. I don't do that. I have very few people have I even told. I'm not even sure I could exactly tell you how many we run on every given Sunday, though I look at the numbers. Say why? I'm trying to figure out what I need to do to help and to fix and who's not here, and I keep a list and I just go at it. Now, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Wow. This church has been a church since late September of 2012. We've had 2 years and 3 months of being a church. We have seen, this is just mind-boggling to me, we have seen over 1,300 people saved in 2 years and 3 months. Now, just so you know, that's about 2 people a day getting saved. 1.8, 1.79, something like that. Lots of pregnant people, amen. It's right around 2 people a day getting saved. And I believe God is pleased with that. My son, Josh, sent me a text just 15 minutes before church tonight. And I wished I would have wrote it down. I didn't, but I can give you just a little bleep of it. It was some sign. He said, it's not the number of people at church. It's the amount of people who have been helped that counts. Boy, that was a big statement. Now, I believe God wants us to be adding to the church. He said it several times that people were added to the church. By the way, That's why people are wrong when they say the church started at Pentecost. You don't add to something that has not already been. Jesus started the church. He looked at the apostles and said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Matthew chapter 16. He was not talking about Peter being the first pope either. The word Peter is the word Petra, which means pebble, little tiny stone, just a little pebble. He said, upon this rock, meaning cornerstone, Jesus is the cornerstone that he would build the church. By Matthew chapter 18, he was talking about if somebody would not listen, you take it before the elders of the church, not the future church. It said the church. He had already established it. So between Matthew 16 and Matthew 18, the New Testament church had begun, just so you know. Now, it was growing, not as fast, until after the resurrection, and then it took on mega growth after the resurrection, and you have here Pentecost. Now, listen to me very carefully. It is God who gives the increase in a church. Everybody hear that? It is God that gives the increase in a church. By the way, when you go soul winning, it is God that gives the increase. You know, God does not hold you accountable for how many people get saved. He holds you accountable for giving them the gospel. What they do with the gospel is between them and God, not between you and God. I'm treading on some thin ice here, but I'm not afraid of it. I believe that if God's people continue to obey and go out and give the gospel, eventually they're going to start seeing people get saved. But that does not mean if you go out soul winning and somebody does not get saved that it's your fault. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But you had nothing to do with them getting saved other than giving the gospel anyway. Everybody doing all right? I've heard preachers get up and say, "Bless God, every time you go soul winning, you don't come back till you get somebody saved." They're an idiot. It's God that gives the increase. I can go to any child in the world and get them to say a prayer. That doesn't mean they got saved. I can read verses to somebody and say, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, and they say a prayer after me. That doesn't mean they got saved. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun here. Just because somebody says a prayer with you, that's work salvation. Where the heart man believeth unto righteousness, where the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's not your job to get everybody in the world saved. It's your job to get the gospel to everybody. We let God give the increase. Now, here we go. It's God who gives the increase, and it's God who gets the praise for all that's done. Do you know we ought to praise God for the person that gets saved? More than the fact that we got to lead them to the Lord. When you win someone to Christ, is it all about you or all about him? So he ought to be getting the praise for it. Every person that gets saved, he ought to get the praise for it, not you. Now, I know how exciting it is. By the way, I want people to come back and be excited they won someone to Christ. But just do me a favor. Make sure he gets the credit, amen? Now, don't walk around like some Pharisee. "Oh, it's all right. God gets the glory, not me." Yeah, garbage. Now, wait a minute. This church is God's. It's not mine. This church is God's. It's not yours. He paid for it. You didn't. We get to be a part of it, but this church is God's. Everybody understand that? I've said this since day one. Very, very, very dear friend of mine helped me in the struggle of whether I should pastor or not. And he said, "Brother Bush, you don't have to pastor. You could still be an assistant pastor. Just let God pastor it and you become God's assistant." Made a whole lot of sense to me. That's the way it's been for 2 years and 3 months. Amen. And as long as I have the ability to do that, I'm going to. And if I don't, I want God to take me home. Now, 2015 is before us. You realize you cannot go back and live one day of 2014 over? There's not one day, not one event, not one happening that you could go back and redo in 2014. Some of you are glad because some of you don't want to redo some of those things. Amen. We've faced some tough days. We have faced some tragedies. We faced death, and we faced sickness, and we faced bad news, and we faced bad financial issues, and we've faced bad health at times. And I could go on and on, and some of the things you're glad you didn't get to redo, and some good things. There's been good things that have happened in 2014. And by the way, we ought to rejoice in those things. But may I say this, you cannot go back and redo it. We've had births. Well, you did. I didn't. I ain't having none of them again. But my family, we added a daughter not by birth, but by marriage. Amen. You know, it's a whole lot cheaper to add them by marriage than it is to add them by birth. And it's a whole lot less work on mom and dad. Let me tell you. Now, wait a minute. We can't go back and ever live one of those events over again. But I can tell you this. We can plan for 2015. I'm not one of those people that lives in the past, just so you know. Now, I use things from, I know that sounds funny, from somebody that loves history. I love history. I love reading history. I love studying history. But I don't live in the past. I find out what did work in the past and reproduce it. I find out what didn't work in the past and try to avoid it. Boy, if we had government officials that would do that, we'd be in a whole lot better shape, wouldn't we? That is the purpose of studying the past. Look back at the year, find out what did work, and do it again. Find out what didn't work, and avoid it. That's the purpose of it. Now, I have a plan for Grace Baptist Church for 2015. You won't have to write it down. It's going to be easy for you, but let me help you. I call it 52 for you. 52 for you. Now, that's not my age yet. I got 4.5 years before that happens. Amen. But, Brother Mark, it is yours. This one's anyway. Leslie, you sure did marry an old man. You know that? Good night. Anyway, 52 for you. Now, I have, Brother Stoltz, come on up here for a second. I got to see which way this goes. Yeah, that way. Pull that out there. Now, don't go too far because it's not real long. I told you don't pull it too far. I have a little banner here. Hang on. I got to get to wear a microphone because my voice isn't that strong yet. We're going to hang this out in the foyer, and it's going to be hung out there all year long. Before you come to church Sunday morning, it's going to be up. Every time you come in, every time you go out, you're going to see this thing. You're going to get so sick of this, and I don't care. Amen? But I'm going to explain it here in a second, Brother Stoltz. Let's go ahead and I'll let you roll that up. That way I know you're staying awake. Okay? Do not smoke it, though. Okay? All right. Now, 52 for you. First of all, that you means God. 52 for God. Now, let me tell you what I mean. I want Grace Baptist Church to get 52 weeks in a row with visitors for God. Amen? Or am I on an island by myself here? I'm talking about us every week for the next 52 weeks having visitors at Grace Baptist Church. I believe it can be done, just so you know. Now, I've got a plan. I'll show it to you. To our banner, we've already made a little people silhouettes. Is that the right word? Whew. I have to look at my secretary because she gives me all these fancy words to use. But we've got every week we have visitors, we're going to slap one of those things on the banner and add it to the banner each week. You say, well, what if we don't get it every week? Well, we're going to be closer than we would have we not tried. If you aim at nothing, you're going to hit it. Well, I plan on aiming at something. When I pull the gun up, I don't plan on just looking through the scope. I plan on pulling the trigger, amen? I don't just pull the trigger on the gun and say, okay, where am I shooting? Man, it's time to, if I'm going to pull that thing up, I'm gonna get down on that thing and hunker down on it. And when I pull the trigger, it's going to hit where it's going. My son had gotten a weapon, and we were taking care of that for a little bit, and I had had a weapon worked on. And honestly, since I had had it for a couple years, it hadn't worked appropriately, and somebody had made an AR-223 for me. Well, it never did ever just shoot and discharge shells, and it had a bad gas exchange or whatever it is. Some of you men have that same problem. It had a problem with it in there. I didn't understand it, but somebody redid it for me, and it had bad parts to begin with, rebuilt the whole thing. Well, I took it out. That could get costly, Brother Brett. Let me tell you, you pull that trigger, it's ready to go with the next one. Just boom, 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 boom. It doesn't do it automatically, but there's something about that boom, boom, and the smell of the gunpowder that makes you just want to keep squeezing, amen? But I wanted to make sure it was sighted in. Say why? Because when I use it, I want to make sure whatever I point it at is going to get hit, amen? And not something else. Well, in church work, you got to do the same thing. We've sighted in the scope, and the scope is 52 weeks in a row, we're going to have visitors at Grace Baptist Church. I want God to get 52 weeks in a row with people getting saved from Grace Baptist Church. Not just an average. And by the way, we do that. I don't know that there's been a week of this church go by somebody hasn't gotten saved. That's an amazing thing right there, just so you know. That doesn't mean they walk the aisle and get saved, but as a result of this church, 52 weeks in a row, somebody getting saved. Amen? I want God to get 52 weeks in a row, listen to this, with his people being faithful to the church services. Ouch. I know I'm preaching to the choir. Man, we would make a bad choir. let's face it. I believe God deserves 52 weeks in a row of our faithfulness, don't you? I believe it's time for us to step up. In a world that does not understand faithfulness, let's teach it to them by being it. I want God to get 52 weeks in a row of praise and glory for all that happens at this church. Can I tell you something? I don't need you. Now, listen to this carefully. I enjoy it when somebody says, boy, preacher, we had a great day, didn't we? And I love those. But may I say this? I want God to get those more than I get them. How about every week we're able to say to God, boy, God, you sure ought to be happy today. Boy, God, we had a great day today. Thank you, God. I think God ought to get the credit 52 weeks a year. Amen. All right. Then, point number two, 52 weeks for you, the church member. So it's 52 weeks for you, meaning God, 52 weeks for you, meaning the church member. See, I want you to be a part of the excitement of what God's doing around here for the next 52 weeks. How about you? I plan on being here. Amen. How about you? I want you to be a part of the excitement. You say, well, I've been in some church services that weren't quite so exciting. What was your problem? Folks, if God's working, how could it not be exciting? If there's truth involved, how could it not be exciting? Shoot, you stand here long enough and watch some of the things that happen, it can get exciting in a hurry around here. It doesn't take long. I want you to see for 52 weeks that God wants to bless this church. Did you catch that? I want you to see in the next 52 weeks, every week, how God wants to bless and to use this church. Mark and I knocked on a door last night. Family came, visited our church. They've tried churches. And he said, man, your church is different. I said, thank you. Thank you. He said, a lot of the churches around here are friendly, but there was something different about yours. Now, I couldn't stand there and tell him what I was thinking, but I know what I was thinking. You don't know how different we really are. Now, wait a minute. I want you to see what God can use you to do for the next 52 weeks. You know, some of you put a ceiling on God with your life. You know, it's very easy to tell God, God, I'll do something for you as long as it fits within these parameters, and you put a ceiling on God. Let's not do that with God over the next 52 weeks. So, point number one, 52 for God. Point number two, 52 for you, the church member. And point number three, the last point. Don't put your shoes on yet. But are you ready? What can you do for 52? What can you do for 52? Now, folks, this is as close to one of these liberals that put their sermon outlines on a screen somewhere and everything is poetically done or whatever that is you're going to get from this preacher, I promise you. What can you do for the next 52 weeks? Now, I have four things I want to challenge you with. Number one, you can invite at least one family or one person each week for the next 52 weeks. I wonder how many people sitting at our church will take the challenge that every week you'll invite at least one person to come to church. If every person in our church invited one person every week, we would have thousands of people who would have been invited to our church by this time next year. That's at one person per week, or one family per week. So if you invite a family of four, that doesn't mean you take a month off. Amen? Let's take the challenge. By the way, I'm challenging myself to far more than that. But if every person in this church would just invite one person or one family each week, now, I'm not talking as an average. I'm saying you go out in a seven-day period and make sure you invite at least one person to church. That doesn't mean each time you go to the restaurant, you just drop a track on the table and count that. No, I mean you personally invite somebody. Now, I'm for leaving the track on the table as long as you tip well, just so you know. Don't leave that if you're only going to leave 2 cents tip, all right? That's not a good testimony for our church. But I'm for you leaving gospel tracts and all that. If you invite the waitress, that's fine. You can count that. But don't just leave the track and say, well, I did my part. It was an invitation. I'm talking about you personally invite one person each week for 52 weeks. Can you imagine what God could do with that? That means you only have to talk to 52 family units. Now, I think many of us could do a whole lot more than that. But if every person in our church, man, woman, child, invited one person every week, by the way, you say, well, I don't meet that many people. Yes, you do. You pass them in the grocery store. You pass them at Sheets. Hee hee. Many of you got free coffee tonight. You pass them everywhere you go. So everybody could do this. Next, you can give the gospel to at least one person each week for 52 weeks. If every person in our church presented the gospel one time a week, there would be thousands of people who would get the gospel. That's just one time a week. I'm not saying that you just reach in your pocket and give them a gospel tract and say, okay, I gave them the gospel. No, you ask them, are you 100% sure you go to heaven when you die? Let me show you what the Bible says. And you take them through the Bible and let them make a decision for Christ. If you will just present the gospel one time a week for the next 52 weeks, thousands of people in this area, Berkeley County, Jefferson County, and all over this area will have gotten the gospel. Some of you work out of town. You know what? People out of town can get saved too. If they do, do me a favor. Get their address. Bring it back with you, and I'll send them a letter from our church. I'm not afraid of it. You say, what good would that do? You'd be shocked what that would do. You'd be shocked. I'd like to keep in contact with as many of our converts as we can keep in contact with. Everybody doing all right? Here we go. Point number three. This one is going to be a little harder for you. you can read your Bible each day for 52 weeks. I wonder who will take the challenge, and I'm gonna make a statement here. I think sometime in your life you ought to read through the Bible in a year. I do. But I'm not as concerned about you reading through your Bible in the next year as I am you reading it every day for the next 52 weeks. I'd rather you not read through it in a year, but you read it every day for 52 weeks, than had you read through it and got nothing out of it, and who knows how you did it. I'm not interested in, I don't care, if you just take two or three or four books of the Bible and you read a little bit every day, but you'll read your Bible every day for 52 weeks. It will change your life. I promise you. Now, I read far more than that. You say, yeah, but you get paid to read the Bible. No, I get paid to run a church. I read my Bible because I'm a Christian, not because I'm a pastor. Now, I study as a pastor, but I read my Bible as a church member, just so you know. Everybody doing all right? I average about 2.5 to 3 times a year. I've got through the Bible 3 times this last year. I don't expect you to be able to do that. And by the way, not many preachers will get up and tell you, I don't care if you read through it in an entire year this year or not. I don't care. But I do want you to read it every day of your life. I can help you do it. Most of you won't take the challenge. Before you put food in your mouth every day, read that book. You quit feeding your body till you feed your spirit. Once you feed your spirit, then feed your body. Some of you, it could be a good diet plan for you. Read your Bible every day for 52 weeks. Then, lastly, I want as many people that will take this challenge to do this. You can ask God to let you help one person or one family each week for the next 52 weeks, whether they're in our church or not. That doesn't mean it may be something financial, but that God would use you to help one family for the next 52 weeks, one each week. Do you know there's all kinds of kindnesses that you could do to help a family? Well, I don't know who to help. Brother Hawkins, every day I pray and ask God to let me help somebody. Do you know he's never failed to answer that prayer? Brother Mike, not one time that I've ever prayed that, God didn't answer that prayer. Not once. You see, if you would say in a week, God, let me help somebody, let me help somebody, let me help somebody. I was so proud. One of our men came to me. He said, preacher, he said, I got a weird request. I said, good, I specialize in weird requests. What you got? And somebody had given him a bunch of things, or he had gotten them from work, and he said, there's no way I can distribute these. He said, could you use them here at the church? I said, I sure can. I said, I am so excited. I've got about a dozen families I get to help because one man was willing to help somebody. I'm excited about it. You say, who's going to get help? That's none of your business. What was it? That's none of your business either. That's for God to let me know who needs it. Amen. And I can help them. I get excited about that. I'm having fun. I'm having fun praying about it before it even gets here. Can I tell you something? That's the kind of thing God will do for you. You say, well, I don't have much money. That's all, folks. I don't have much money. I didn't say it had to be financial. Did you know somebody might just need a note of encouragement? Somebody might just need a phone call or a text saying, look, I was thinking about you early this morning or late this afternoon or whenever it was, and I was praying for you, and just wanted you to know I care. Can I tell you how that might be what it takes to help somebody? You know how many times I have thought through one of our church members and said, I'm praying for you. Just want you to know it. And you wouldn't believe how many times the text comes back. Boy, I needed it. I'm facing this. Boy, you didn't know this, but I was doing this, and I really needed it. And boy, preacher, it's a good thing you were, because I was in the middle of something real bad, and as soon as I got that, everything changed. I didn't even know what I was praying for. I was just praying for you. Man, I love that. I get to have a glory fit at that point in time, amen? Brother Stoltz, bring that thing back up here. I'm going to unroll it again for you. This time, don't pull it so hard. I get to pull it. 52 for you. 52 weeks for God. 52 weeks for you. And what will you do for God in those 52 weeks? 52 weeks in a row with visitors? You say, well, preacher, what if we don't have visitors? We're still going to go after it, amen? Guess what? If next December 31st we only have 51 weeks, I think God will be happy.
Amen. Amen.
If we only have 48 weeks, I think God will be happy.
Amen.
Everybody understand where we're headed here? Hey, I wonder, who's going to read their Bible for the next 52 weeks? Who's going to invite somebody to come to church every week for the next 52 weeks? Who's going to ask God to let you help somebody for the next 52 weeks? Can I tell you something? Thank you, Brother Stoltz. Your Christian life and this church will be totally changed if you'll do it. I promise you. I'm not asking you to be Joe or Josephine spiritual. I'm not asking you to be Miss Pharisee or Mr. Pharisee. Oh, look what God's done with me. Gag. I just want to see what God's going to do. Hey, we've got 4 days till Sunday. Let's go get some visitors, amen? Say, well, it's New Year's. Yeah, what a great New Year's resolution. Go get some drunk off the road, got a hangover tomorrow, beat on his door till he gets mad and throws up. What are you banging on my door for? Got a headache. Good. You need to come to church so you don't have to have a hangover next year. Folks, I'm serious about it. I really believe that we can do this. Brother Coral was over in Berkeley Springs this week because Brother Burton was out of town. I told Brother Coral, I said, Brother Coral, the last 39 weeks of the year, 38 out of 39 in a row, God gave our church visitors. I got a text back from him or an email, I can't remember which. And he said, Brother Bush, that is an amazing statistic. He said, you know, I couldn't tell you how many you're running, but I know God's in it when you got visitors coming like that. He said, you keep it going. I said, don't worry, next year we're shooting for 52 weeks in a row. I got a smiley face back from him, and I could hear his laugh. He said, go for it, man. He said, give the devil fits. I said, I plan on it because he's given me enough. I'm going after him this year. I'm not going to sit back on my laurels. I'm going to attack. Say, how do you attack? Just the way I showed you. 52 for you. 52 for God. 52 for you, and 52 from you to God. I've got the challenge. I'm taking the challenge. This isn't the ice bucket challenge either. We're not raising money. We're trying to add to the church daily such as should be saved. And I really believe if you look through Acts chapter 2, that last part of the chapter, everything in there that we're doing is in that chapter. Baptists have mistaught. Well, you got to sell everything you have and bring it to the church and let the church distribute it to everybody. No. That's not what it teaches. Well, they had everything in common. Yeah, that means people who had the wherewithal to sell something to help somebody, they did. That doesn't mean they sold everything they had. meant they, if they had something extra, they had a garage sale, they gave some of it to help somebody with it. I had a pistol that I bought about a year and a half ago. Brother Mike bought me a brand new 357. I love that thing. You know how many times I shot it in a year and a half? I didn't even pull the trigger. Didn't even pull the trigger. It was dusty, dirty, sat under my bed. Really going to protect me, wasn't it? I'm 47 years old, never had anybody break into a home that I own. I thought, what in the world did I pay all that money for nothing? I got plenty of other guns to protect me. I sold it. I made a little bit of profit on it. I'd already paid it off before I bought it. I used that money for my wife's Christmas present. And then some. Say why? Because I wanted her to have something special this year. So I sold my pistol. You say, oh, are you going to get another one? I don't need a pistol. You knock them down with a rifle, who needs a pistol? Got a shotgun for the house. It's safer than a big pistol anyway. And throws a bigger pattern out. I can blow them into more pieces. Now, wait a minute. You know, that's what the book of Acts was all about. It wasn't everybody sold everything and became communists. And let the pastor dictate who got what. I don't want that. I want God to bless you financially. I want God to bless you to where you can go out and help somebody else. I've helped a few families, and sometimes they feel awkward, and they'll say, oh, I just feel so awkward. And I'm glad they do. And I always say, it's okay. Everybody needs help from time to time. Maybe next year, you'll be able to help somebody like you're getting help this year. Honestly, that's how I say it. And guess what? I'm watching people that I have helped who are now helping others because they've done what God says. And that's what it's all about. 52 for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder who would say, preacher, either a part, little part, or all, but in some point in that message, there's part of that challenge I'm going to apply to my life over the next 52 weeks. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. God bless you.